Previously on the Who Are You Babylon 5 Watchcast.
He OD'd on strawberry jam.
Emergency surgery.
I feel like I've really turned on Sheridan this season, but it's really hard to take anyone seriously in that shirt.
Didn't know Lita got her CPA.
Lita has figured out her worth, and Franklin is super into it.
This proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jakar is a cat.
Londo gets whisked away to be anal probed. And you can tell because he whispers Adira's name.
This'll be a coup de nope.
Of course Garibaldi would make a football reference in a room full of aliens.
Weird choice to use her powers to make the Drazi shit themselves. Fucking drones.
I don't know much, but I know you don't grab the alien egg.
The Regent has turned off Centauri Prime's Wi-Fi password.
Shat on a turtle!
And now, the conclusion.
Hello, and welcome to Who Are You? We're the Babylon 5 Watchcast by a couple of former strangers, now friends, who are still getting to know each other over one of their favorite shows from their childhood. I'm Laura.
And I'm Jafar.
And we're recording this today on the day where we celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Captain John Sheridan. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. I've already seen posts on Spoo posting.
Okay, good.
It's good. It's been good over there, yeah.
Of course. Yep, it's Easter here, and I think we have some exciting developments coming up. You want to share, Jafar?
Yeah, it's getting time for STLV planning. The convention is in 4 months, and just bought my tickets, along with a whole cadre of people.
Yeah.
We have eight of us on one flight all going to STLV. Star Trek Las Vegas, if you were not initiated. That's going to be a riot.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I don't know how we're going to figure out cars. We like getting from the airport to, because we're all meeting up at one place.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have to condense cars and maybe just pay for parking for two, or have someone ferry us in multiple trips is the other option.
Yeah. Jafar's bringing the whole family. He's got all the aunts and uncles.
So I'm actually doing that later this year. Have I talked about that all on pod?
I can't remember, but I know you are doing a family reunion as well.
Yeah, we're talking about a family trip to the old country and going to Eastern Europe with my entire family. I do mean like I know my fifth and sixth cousins. So when I say my entire family's invited, I'm talking about all of them. Like, I was talking to my uncle about logistics, and it's all like, we might have to rent a hotel.
That's cool.
Like, that might be the level of people who attend. So.
That sounds like it could be super fun.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to meeting so many of your friends this year at STLV. I can't wait.
So, well, I mean, our friends.
Our friends. Yeah. I haven't met them, so. I feel like I can't,
yeah,
like,
that's fair.
Claim
it's all
them in
internet
person
communication.
Yet. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I don't think anyone would object to that notation. So we've got Ben from last time on, mm-hmm. and his wife will be joining us.
Yeah.
A couple college friends of mine who are also big Star Trek nerds, who I won't say on pod because I know they value their privacy. Specifically,
yeah, sure.
One of them values their privacy a great deal. I won't say their names. And then friend of the pod, Admiral Harper, and another one of his buddies who I've gotten to meet a couple of times now.
It's great.
Are all coming with us. And all eight of us are on the same flight out from Detroit.
So good.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Just all of us rolling in at like 9 p.m. on Wednesday.
I wish that you guys could like stop in Oklahoma City and like pick us up and then head on from there. But I understand that doesn't make sense.
Direct flights, baby.
Yeah. We got direct flights as well. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
But yeah, STLV, it's very exciting plans. I'm very much looking forward to going in August. A listener, if you are a Star Trek nerd of any variety, I do recommend going. It's a grand old time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we'll be doing stuff around the con. Nothing official, obviously, because we are a tiny little Babylon 5 podcast.
in enemy territory.
in enemy territory, as it were. But we're all big sci-fi nerd friends. But we'll talk about that more later. There will be a part two to our STLV conversations, much like we're here today to talk about part two of an episode. We've got season 5, episode 18, The Fall of Centauri Prime.
That was perfect. Nailed it.
I had to run for that segue. I saw it off in the distance and I'm all like, I can get there.
You know what?
I just have to work so hard to get there. I did.
Even with the distractions that were edited out, you made it.
We open, or perhaps I should say resume, on Centauri Prime getting attacked by the Drazi and Narn.
Yeah. Jakar is watching this from the bars of his cell when the ceiling starts to come down, and Londo bursts in to get him to relative safety. It seems like safety is going to be hard to come by on Centauri Prime for a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think Jakar knows the Narn are bombing right now? Like, do you think he sees the green pew-pews and goes, oh, those are Narn ships, or if they're visible? I can't imagine them being visible from the ground, but...
Yeah, I think he might have more of a reaction if he realized. Like, even if it's just sort of, like, sadness, because, you know, his Book of Jakar is about reconciliation a little bit more, or maybe even a little, like, guilty joy. I think we'd see a little bit more something on his face. Andreas is capable of that.
For sure. I know that's a question that Andreas asked before acting that scene.
Oh, really?
Like, I know that... Well, I mean, not actually, like... There's no documentation of it, but just knowing his method as an actor, I feel like that's the kind of question he would ask and portray accordingly.
Good point.
So I think that's a safe bet when you say that he doesn't show it. That probably means that he doesn't know the character.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, Londo gets Jakar out of there before it collapses, but takes him to his quarters and not like a bunker.
Yeah. Shouldn't we be going underground? That's the thing that my husband said immediately in the situation.
Right.
Like, there's never ever been a reference of quarters being underground, and we know it for a fact that we can see out windows. So, yeah, this doesn't seem like the safest place.
Maybe the Centauri don't have basements.
Yeah.
We've just missed that the entire time. Culturally, they don't dig. They're not a digging people.
Well, maybe the soil's all wrong. Basements aren't a thing here in this part of the state because the soil is not right for basement.
Huh.
Yeah. It's weird.
We got big old basements here.
I know. We got clay and too much water and it's just problems. So.
I mean, they're just problems here where we have them. I have scars on my hand from flooding basements and trying to bail out stuff and whole deals.
Yeah, we only dig our holes for like tornado shelter. That's our holes.
Garibaldi FaceTimes Sheridan and gives him the LTO update about Centauri Prime and Delenn, who we cut over to. And her and Lanier are pretty fucked, but alive.
Yeah, they're like the only ones alive on this ship.
Yeah.
Just hanging out together. Nothing weird to talk about at all.
Yeah. Like, I know this didn't happen, but in my mind, Lanier, like, Rambo went and killed everyone else to save oxygen.
Yeah. Seems like a thing we might do at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah. After this, Londo talks to the regent and finds out soon it's his time.
It's my time, and my dick fell off.
What?
Don't get it wrong, I don't make me soft. It's my time. Drinking champagne, baby. Shoot it at my mouth so it come down to spray me.
Yeah, the regent keeps telling Londo that they say everything's going to be okay. The palace is going to be okay. And Londo loses it and demands to know who they are and is introduced to the Drock.
Yeah, the Drock calls itself a shadow of a shadow because what subtlety.
Yeah.
It's fun, though. If I hadn't called for that Garth Marenghi drop like 5 times in the last 4 episodes, it would have been there. Fuck it. Throw it in if you feel like it. If it works, it works.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, after theme, we find out that this Drac is Wayne Alexander. Wayne Alexander, one more time, everybody. Yay.
Got to get in here towards the end. Good job, Wayne.
Yeah, Londo recognizes the Drac, and I don't remember why Londo recognizes the Drac. Has that come up?
This is the Drac that when he almost got assassinated last time they were on Centauri Prime, and Jakar got jumped by those goons.
Right.
And Londo got separated for a minute. Okay. Yeah, this is the dude who telekinesis'd the knives into Deputy Boomer or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. But he recognizes the Drac not just as the Drac, but he recognizes that they worked for the Shadows. So I couldn't pinpoint exactly when that might have come up, but I'm sure there was some discussion, or it could be in a book club.
There's a few things here where the timing doesn't quite line up.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I'm imagining it or if, because I even like checked the Midwinter notes and I didn't see anything calling JMS about a continuity error.
Mm-hmm.
But it is implied that the Drac were here when Londo blew up the island.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the implication I got.
But it is also implied that they left Zahadum after the war, because we see the shot of all those ships and the giant caravan leaving Zahadum. Mm-hmm. That's a week after the war. The island blew up at the day the war ended.
I could see maybe some of them being there present, you know? Like, it's one of those things. Yeah. We had some sentries or whatever that were around when the island blew up, and then when Zahadum starts to blow, then we also just go where the other guys had been. I could see that.
I guess that makes sense.
I would take that.
Maybe I'm remembering wrong, but...
Yeah. No, I had the same feeling.
Okay.
This Drac speaks through Verini at first.
Yeah.
And then starts to speak for himself. And we find out all of that stuff. The Drac were shadow servants. Now they live here.
Mm-hmm.
They saw a lot of potential in Centauri Prime. And the way that, even though Verini is not speaking for the Drac anymore, now he's speaking for himself. This is the most lucid Verini has ever seemed, right?
For sure. Yeah, Verini is seemingly more present than he's been in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, they talk about how they learned his trick, specifically planting nukes everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, we see the flashback to his discussion with Morden to remind us about that. And then they say, well... You know, you have to do what we say, because if you don't, we're going to blow all the nukes and there will be so much more death on Centauri Prime than there already is.
Yeah, you're going to do this or else. After this, we cut over to Sheridan, who is caught between a rock and no hiding place when dealing with the Narn General.
Yeah, he's got him over a barrel.
The Narn General has forced his hand completely into defending themselves against the incoming Centauri fleet.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Londo learns of the full plans from the Regent and the Drac here.
Mm-hmm.
The Regent will be Londo's excuse and take the blame for everything. And he won't care because he'll be dead.
Yeah.
And to be honest, same, bro. I will not give a single fuck. What happens, use me as an excuse when I'm dead. I don't care.
Yeah.
Take a day off work.
Mm-hmm.
Blame me for some shit. I will not care.
Whatever you need to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm cool with it now, as long as you wait till I'm dead.
Uh-huh.
And once I'm dead, I know I won't care. So fucking go for it. Have a field day.
Whatever you need
literally,
to do.
Literally, have a field
it.
Day.
Yeah, Verini shows him the reason he's been listing to the left. I don't know if it's the left or right, but I like to say listing to the left. It has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
It does.
Why he's been listing to the left for several episodes. And I don't love the CGI when this thing is revealing itself or when it moves, but the prop for this thing is super cool, right?
Yes, the prop is super cool. The CGI is super bad.
Yeah, yeah. This is what I want from the reboot, really, is a better keeper. Like, I want to see a real creepy keeper that doesn't break you out of the scene. I want a real one that keeps us there.
The thing that breaks me out of the scene the most here is the fact that it shows up over his clothes.
Yeah. But then,
like,
later,
how do you change with this thing on?
Yeah, but later we specifically reference that it's like under clothes, so I don't know.
Yeah.
This is like maybe the saddest speech of the whole show, right?
Yeah. This is on the list.
This guy just wanted pastels. He just wanted some nice curtains and decorating.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been swept up in Centauri politics this whole time. And it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And now he's ready to go. He's over it. Makes me really sad.
Yeah, this is a fucking tragedy. And it's also just Londo staring down the fucking barrel mm-hmm. right here, knowing what's coming.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And Verini is someone that Londo has probably known his whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Known him as that silly man running around looking at curtains. And now he sees how serious and lucid and intelligent he is, and also resigned to death.
Yeah.
So the keeper, like, detaches itself from him, and he just immediately dies. Something about this keeper keeps you alive as well after it attaches itself.
So now we've seen a keeper get partially removed and someone live. We had that ranger dude that was fucking with Marcus and Franklin. That was the first time we saw one of these back on Mars.
Okay.
And I have to wonder if the keeper is straight up murdering the regent here. Like, he dies because we tell him he's dead.
Could be.
Shuts down his body.
Mm-hmm.
Or if, because they couldn't remove all of it, because we're told it will grow back. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering which one it is, because it could be either.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter for anything, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. Want to know how it works.
Would you like to know more?
Yeah. I would like to learn more. After this, though, Sheridan just wants someone to accept his collect call, as Delenn and Lanier are just kind of waiting to die.
Yeah, they don't know exactly how much time they have left, but they are afraid to look.
Yep. It's better if they don't know when they're going to die of asphyxiation, which, fair.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
not in a position to judge.
Yeah, I don't want to know that feeling, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to put too much thought into it, but
sure,
sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Londo goes to check on Jakar, and they get like their last buddy banter of the the show.
Yeah, I have that almost exact phrase in my notes. I have check-in and buddy banter.
Yeah. He's now the emperor. He just needs to be inaugurated. And Jakar needs to go now.
Yeah. Londo isn't saying the thing out loud because he knows if he does, Jakar dies.
Mm-hmm.
And Jakar's all like, oh, no, I get it. The position changes you. You won't be yourself. And he's all like, no, bro, I won't be myself.
Yeah, he is trying his hardest to say it without saying it. Give him some kind of clue. And Jakar will probably figure it out eventually, right? But this is not that moment. Oh, and he also tells him that, you know, what the Centauri have done is unforgivable. Essentially, what mm-hmm. you have done is unforgivable, but I'm going to forgive you anyway.
Yeah. The Narn can't forgive you. The Narn can't forgive the Centauri, but I can forgive you.
Yeah.
And then they almost go for a hug.
Okay, now you guys kiss.
Man, what a freak.
After this, we see the creeper is fucking like pulled off of the Drock's chest.
Yeah, it's like, does the Drock just make little keepers? Or is that a symbiosis
thing?
The
keeper was like his nipple, maybe? Uh-huh. Like its placement?
He just peels one off. And this is really dramatic as Londo strips down to his shirt. And this whole costume is great. Every costume that he gets is great. But this one and then his emperor outfit in this episode are really nice. So we see more of that CGI where it implants itself into Londo's body. Not the best.
It's like creeping up on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like this could be really horrifying now.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
This whole scene is ick. Mm-hmm. Just like just gets me, but the CGI is enough to just make me look at it very objectively instead of being immersed.
Yeah.
We're over on Sheridan's White Star after this, and I finally clocked this fucking helmsman. This has been driving me crazy all episode.
Oh, really?
And we get like a side profile look at this dude finally, and it's like him clear in frame. And I've been this whole time, I'm like, I know this guy. This is Lieutenant Hogan from Star Trek Voyager. He's in like a dozen episodes.
Oh, how funny. Is he also a helmsman?
No, I don't think so.
Is
I think
he bridge
he's an
crew?
Engineer.
No. Okay.
No. No, he's an engineering dude, I think, and he's in like, I want to say like a dozen episodes over the first couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen him in a while in my rewatch, but as soon as I got a good look at his face, I'm like, I knew that guy.
Awesome.
Still nothing from Delenn's ship, though.
Yeah, we do get a transmission from Londo. He's blaming the Regent for everything, as per the schedule. He promises to stand down, and Sheridan wants to come talk to him, which Londo is not stoked about. But Sheridan really needs his help to find Delenn.
Yeah. They have a conversation about all this. Sheridan insists on going down. And he's just like, come on. He's just like, I have to give context. And Londo's just like, quid pro Delenn's life, bro. Like, I'm not just going to give you this. And he's all like, we're friends, buddy guy. And it's just like, you were bombing my fucking planet 40 minutes ago. Don't come in here and buddy guy me. And he's not incorrect to treat Sheridan like this.
Yeah, Sheridan's like, but that wasn't my guy's exact... I mean, it wasn't the White Stars, but Londo's like, it was your guys. It was your guys. Your friends. Your bros.
It was the Interstellar Alliance.
Right.
You are the president of the alliance that was bombing me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pretend like you're not fucking part of this. They were doing it based off evidence you gave them and did not give to me and give me a chance to refute.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, you found out that it wasn't us after all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you find these pods, like, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Or have they not found the pods yet?
I don't know.
Regardless.
I don't know if that Londo knows about the pods 100% yet. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Or no, he does because he calls it out.
Oh,
Sheridan
yeah.
in the throne room is like, we found these pods. And he's all like, old news, fuck off. And it's just like, that is evidence that your people were not controlling those ships. And Londo can't own that. But Sheridan would know that.
Yeah.
And the fact that he doesn't even bring it up.
Yeah, but Sheridan's just reacting on his emotions here. Like, he's hurt because Londo says we're not friends anymore. And he acts rashly, as Sheridan is wont to do. And it just drives the wedge between them even deeper.
Now, part of me is like, this is the Drock playing 3D chess. Like, the purposeful attack on Delenn's ship at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And leaving it up in the air is so that Sheridan doesn't put the pieces together on who's controlling the Centauri right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if he is of a stable mind, or if Delenn is here instead of Sheridan.
Yeah. Maybe this doesn't go this way.
I think this doesn't go this way.
Yeah. Sheridan's a little easier to manipulate than Delenn. So they had to kind of move her off the board. And Delenn is one of the ways they can manipulate Sheridan. So it's a twofer. Two birds, one Minbari. Wait. That's fine.
One Minbari, two stones. Anyways, the Centauri ships roll up on Delenn and Lanier after they start blasting, hoping that it will reveal their position to friendly ships and not enemy ships.
Yeah, whoops.
Yep. They're greeted by Centauri ships charging their weapons. And Lanier is like dramatically narrating like, oh, when this console makes this beep, that means their weapons are charged.
Uh-huh.
Oh, when it makes this beep, that means they've got a lock on us. Oh, when it does this, it means we're fucking dead.
Uh-huh.
Lanier's like, I love you. Delenn's like, I know. Funny little homage. Same, same, but different, different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't die, though.
No.
Instead, it's a tractor beam. It's not the weapons. And Lanier literally dies of embarrassment in the background. Did you see his acting back there?
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. That's probably when my heart would give out. And I'm just like, I have to die now because that was so embarrassing. Not only did I get, I know, but now I'm not dead either.
Yeah. Yeah. He instantly lives to regret what he thought were his last words.
Yeah. Yeah. Delenn does that thing that Minbari can do where they can lie to save face for another.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice touch. It's a nice callback. But at the same time, I'm just like, oh, this sucks so bad.
Yeah.
Delenn
tries to make it chill, but also very clear. She's like, yes, I love you as a friend, Lanier. Mm-hmm. We are very close as friends.
Mm-hmm.
But Lanier is just sitting here like he's in Dumb and Dumber.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Veer is on Centauri Prime looking for Londo. Like, how could he not know if Londo is okay? The absurdity of this to me.
Well, I think Veer is not just worried about his physical safety, but like, he's worried about Londo as a person, like his emotional state. He wants to really see him and know that he's okay. He bursts in without knocking, which Londo is very unhappy about.
Yes. Veer mentions that this is like standard operating procedure. He bursts in without knocking. It's what Veer does.
It has always been. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And is informed that that might have been the case before, but can no longer be the case. This is, of course, to protect Veer from finding out too much and getting keepered or killed.
Yeah. He's got to protect sweet baby Veer. They discuss the damage around Centauri Prime as Londo is looking out the window. And Veer offhandedly suggests when Londo is having trouble looking at it that he could board up the windows. I believe we have that a happens. Reference to that later. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Veer's idea. Yeah. Londo has it done at some point.
Yeah. It lives in his mind until it happens. Yeah.
Sheridan and Delenn are on the surface of Centauri Prime now, and they meet up with Jakar as they listen to Londo's speech. And it is very isolationist. Fuck the Alliance. We're going to be on our own now. Fuck y'all. We outie.
Yeah. He uses the word isolationist, which I was like, I don't know. Do those who are practicing an isolationist policy specifically name it as isolationist policy? I'm curious. I've never observed that, but it seems like an interesting choice.
We have had a president run on an isolationist policy in our lifetime.
Yeah. Did he actually, though, claim this is an isolationist policy the way that Londo explicitly states it?
I think he... So we're talking about George Bush in 2000, for the unawares. If you are either too young or don't recall, or don't care about American politics... All valid choices. I'm not assuming that you have a stake in our game, even though we tend to make everyone have a stake in our game.
Right.
Anyways, not my choice, just where I was born. And, you know, George Bush, I think he referred it as a focus on the home kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we should stop messing around with these other countries and start focusing on improving things in America.
Yeah, usually we gild that lily a bit, don't we? But this is just spade is a spade.
Yeah, I don't think he
said
isolationist.
Yeah.
Of course, curious. He famously was not given a choice in the matter.
Right.
So.
Yeah, he gives this speech and then he appears to them very quickly. Like, they have a couple of minutes to chat amongst themselves about how bad things are. But he appears really quickly and says, you are not invited to the inauguration anymore. Get out.
Yeah. Get off this planet fucking now.
Yeah. He's got to do his symbolism where he's going to walk wherever it was. I forget if it was the temple or the Centaurum. He's doing it by himself.
No parade. He's just going to walk this path alone as a bell rings for every dead Centauri from the bombing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really...
I was kind of hoping that this is how the episode would end.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're very close to the end. Again, there is other stuff to do here. But I think it's a very powerful image to just see Londo walking alone with the bell ringing. And then they could have done the thing that they do sometimes, where it's different noise, different sound in the credits instead of the normal end music. Mm-hmm. And it could have just been the bell ringing the entire time.
Yeah,
I think that would have been very powerful.
We're getting like Londo's goodbyes for the show here.
Yes.
As he says goodbye to Veer, sends Veer off to Babylon 5 as the new ambassador. He gives his goodbyes to Delenn and Sheridan. And Delenn says her usual like mysticky, I can't see the path that you're on anymore stuff. And then Jakar just gives him his like two-fisted hands against the chest salute before leaving. And it was so beautiful.
Yeah. We get a scene of flashbacks and a flash forward from Londo here. His whole path, that everything that brought him here and where it will lead him to his death as the bells ring.
Yeah. The only thing that takes me out of this is the CGI a little bit, because we have a pretty tidy scene set for us. Not as much destruction as you would expect. And it's one of those things, I think it's just the limitations of the technology at the time and budget.
Yeah. And especially given that this is a late season episode, everything's in super crunch to get it out.
Yeah.
So, and they're also like working on the movies at this point, you know. There's a whole lot going on in the Babylon 5 production at this point in time. So
yeah, it makes
sense. Busy, busy.
Yeah. So back on Babylon 5, they examine the shadow egg. Everyone's scared of it. And then Franklin gives us the what happened to her on San Diego.
Yeah. We get a little bit about the San Diego nuking that we learned about back in season one. The weapons left behind from war, the jumps in technology. And it's very poignant that like, and they aren't subtle about it, that Lita and this thing are both left behind, just like Lita and the Drock, the telepaths and the Drock are left behind.
Yeah, they're the
both
leftover.
Looking for a home world.
Yeah, they're the leftover weapons. And the scary thing is they're all sentient and they can all make their own choices. So Garibaldi suggests that maybe we should go to the Vorlon home world and try to find some of their leftover weapons. And then Lita just straight up hit
1 million years.
Yeah, like the error message flips in her brain and spills out her mouth that we are not ready to go to the Vorlon homeworld and can't for 1 million years. Zach reminds us that Lockley is still on the show, and Delenn wonders what we have lost.
Over on Centauri Prime, Londo sits in his big chair alone to credits.
Jafar.
Yeah, Laura.
On our patented scale of Babylon's 1 to 5, how do you rate this episode?
Oh, this is the best episode of season 5.
Ding, 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 ding.
This is the best episode we've gotten of the show in a while.
A while, yeah. This is brilliant.
It's so good. Everything about this is so good. It's easily a 5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, there's no questions for me. It's 5 out of 5, even with the little bits of CGI that are my quibbles. That's it. That's my quibbles. I know this could be done so beautifully now. But everything else, just beautiful. The sadness of Minister Verini, the sadness of Londo. I agree that you could punch it up a little bit with the bells just ringing for credits. That would be super impactful.
You even go back to Londo in the chair. Like, just have the bells ringing starting there.
Yeah.
Because he said they were going to ring throughout the night.
So he's just sitting in the chair still listening to bells. Oh my gosh, that would be beautiful. But there's nothing wrong with this episode for me besides those little technicalities. It's amazing.
Yep. Great fucking episode.
Yep. I think it's a widely held opinion that this is a beautiful episode of Babylon 5 and one of the top episodes.
For sure. This is the reason why you watch season 5. Well, that and Sleeping in Light, but you know.
There are some people who skip the whole season 5, though, and just watch Sleeping in Light. So,
yeah.
I would not skip season 5 just because of this episode. Like, I would watch the build up to this.
We are almost done with season 5.
I know. This is so scary.
I mean, we know what we're doing after, but yeah, it's.
Right. It just came up so fast. I suppose this is a good time to remind the listener that if you have any season 5 thoughts, this might be your last week to get them in. So we would love to read them on the show.
This has got to be possibly too late.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. We're not super far ahead
recording-wise,
so you might have time.
Yeah.
Not a lot of episodes left. So after season five, we will be going into our season five recap episode. We're going to do River of Souls.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do Road Home.
Yeah.
Finally.
Made you wait all this time.
Right. Uh-huh. It'll be in almost, it'll be in like 10 months since I saw it for the first time when we cover it, but we'll get there. And then we're going to go on our typical mid-season break after Road Home. So we'll do the season five stuff, the two movies, go on break, and we're going to come back from break in the middle of June with the book three Psycor.
Yeah. Wrap up some of Garibaldi that I don't know that we get resolution on some of these things during season five. So,
yeah, I have not read it yet. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we're going to go into Crusade. We're going to start with Call to Arms, go through all 13 episodes of Crusade. We're going to do Legend of the Rangers, and we're going to do Lost Tales. And all of that is going to take us to our Babylon 5 anthology, I guess, mm-hmm. recap in November.
And you know what? I know that you have designed this schedule with the idea of us hitting 150 episodes in total of Babylon 5, and I love it. I think that's great. I feel like we are missing out a little bit on some of the Centauri Prime stuff, so I think I will read the Centauri books that I have, and I'll bring that to like book report to you in that last episode.
I will admit there's some padding in here. I've got each of the 20-minute Lost Tales as their own episode.
Oh, okay. So we could just rearrange that.
We could combine those and then do some book club in there as well.
Okay. We're going to figure out how to get a book report in there on the Centauri Prime books, especially because I'm feeling so inspired by this episode that I really want to read the Londo series, three books. I can't remember.
Yeah, I have my own copy of it. I found it.
Yeah.
In my giant pile of B5 books that I managed to get last time I went to John King down in Detroit.
That's right. I remember the pictures. Yeah. So I really want to read those. I think some people didn't like them. I don't know.
Most people, to my knowledge, consider them to be the best of the Babylon 5 books.
I was going
to
say, I remember it being very good, but I also read it when I was like 14. So I don't know that 14-year-old Laura had the most discerning taste.
it's Peter David. Peter David's solid.
Peter David books I remember always enjoying. So I want to read those and stick those in our schedule too. So just plop them in there.
Well, we'll get to that later as well. And then in November, we'll be wrapping up everything B5. And then we'll probably come back with Battlestar in late December, early January. We're probably going to take a little bit more than our usual 2 weeks off in between series.
Yeah.
Just to get everything aligned. And
New year, new series is a really beautiful start. So just got to say.
Yeah, just take the 6 weeks. That's so much buffer. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do with all that buffer time? Besides waste it immediately like we always do.
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, next week, season 5, episode 19, The Wheel of Fire, the title episode of the season. Leeta is arrested for terrorism while Jakar's worshippers begin to grow. Garibaldi makes a decision after Sheridan confronts him about his alcoholism.
Lots of stuff to wrap up here. Lots of loose ends. Getting them all on the board so we can tie them off.
Yep. And we'll start tying them off next week. But before that, we've, of course, got to say thank you. Thank you, Jeremy Siegel, for our lovely theme music. You're welcome. I heard it. You can find more of Jeremy's work at jeremysiegel42.bandcamp.com or on streaming services as Nuclear Jaguar, and then also several other projects that I don't know if they're on streaming right now, but I know you're playing a bunch of gigs.
Yeah.
So yeah, guy. If you're in
Gainesville,
you know the name
Florida.
Of the band? Yeah, Gainesville, Florida. What's the name of the band?
Savants of Soul is one that he's currently involved in, and I think he actually has another one.
God, we got to write this down so we can remember to say it at the end episodes. But yeah, go see Jeremy live if you have the opportunity. Late Night Losers? He's playing bass with the Late Night Losers. Okay.
Yeah. And I believe it's trombone with the Savants of Soul.
That sounds right. Okay. Well, yeah, go check him out. And thank you so much for your theme music. We really appreciate it.
We do. And thank you to Angry Duck Time Machine on Instagram for our podcast artwork.
Thanks, Aaron, for editing the podcast. Really appreciate all the time you put in to make us sound coherent.
And thank you to you, the listener, for being here. We really appreciate you sitting through Babylon 5 with us. And I'm so honored that you shared this wonderful episode with us.
For sure. We'll see you next week, Internet.
Bye.